I'm sure we're all aware that tomorrow evening is indeed New Year's Eve. And I suspect there are many pulpits throughout the land today that the preacher will be saying, you'll be making New Year's resolutions, I'm sure. The passage that we're looking at this morning, the first six verses of 1 John chapter 4, set before us perhaps a one-word New Year's resolution. Beware. Beware. Some of you probably have been hearing advertisements on the radio saying, beware, drink responsibly New Year's Eve. Beware, don't drink and drive. Beware, be sure there is a designated driver. And these are all well-intended and certainly good. John is going to set before us this matter of beware. Beware of false spirits. Not only is he going to set before us this admonition to beware, he gives us the tools by which we may successfully beware. So let's look together at 1 John chapter 4 and hear what he has to say to us from those first six verses. If you need a page number, in the pew, the Bible there in the pew is on page 1303. Let's listen as we remember listening as we climbed up into the lap of our parents and they read us our favorite story. Hear the word of God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming. Now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's pray. Father, help us as we look ahead to the new year to be a people who are aware that there are false spirits. May we be more than conquerors. Accordingly, for Jesus' sake, amen. By now, we're quite aware of the fact that John is an author who contrasts things in order to make his point. In the third chapter alone, John contrasts righteousness and sin. And he contrasts love and hate. And he contrasts faith and doubt. And in these six verses of the fourth chapter, he contrasts truth and error. And he calls us to beware of error. Beloved, John writes, do not believe every spirit. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. John's choice of a word to describe how we're to relate to the spirits, to the false prophets, is worth noting. He writes, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Test the spirits. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, a verse that we've memorized. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. By testing the will of God, we will enable to know what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Some of us remember the King James, that you may prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect of the will of God. I like that. You may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It's only true through the renewing of our minds we're able to test, we're able to prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect. What is the will of God? And then Paul uses this word again in his first letter to the Thessalonians, the second chapter and verse 4. Here's what he says. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. How thoroughly do you think it is that God tests the heart of those who would herald His good news? That's what John tells us we're to be about as we test the spirits, as we test the false prophets. Thoroughly listening to and judging what people have to say, so we know for sure whether we are walking in the will of God or not. Beware. Beware. There are indeed false spirits. And that's where John begins, isn't it? He begins with the reality of false spirits. He begins with the reality of false spirits. We live in a world of conflicting voices, conflicting spirits, conflicting winds. I remember speaking to a friend of mine who served in the office of a noted Christian senator who served in the U.S. Senate for 30 years, beginning in the mid-1960s. And it was his responsibility to monitor the mail as the mail would come in every time there was a significant issue that was going to be debated on the floor of Senate. When I asked my friend, what was it like reading those letters and hearing what the Christians had to say with respect to issues? I was dismayed. Thoroughly dismayed. And he told me, Bruce, it'll be hard for you to believe, but on every significant issue, Christians would send their opinions, and they were 50-50. the reality of false prophets, the reality of evil spirits. But you know, we live in a far more difficult time. Because today what we hear is this: it's all right to disagree. It's all right to understand that the issues are divided 50-50. But don't try to tell me one or the other is right. Isn't that where we are today? You may have your opinion. You may have your opinion. You live it. You live it. Don't try to tell me that I'm wrong. We read Deuteronomy 13. All the way back after the exile of the people of God from Egypt, Moses in his last sermon found there in Deuteronomy says to the people, beware. There will be false prophets. There will be dreamers of dreams. And they will be able to perform miraculous signs. He must have been thinking about the fact that there were times that the magicians there in Egypt were able to match some of the plagues that Moses brought upon the people. But if those false prophets, those dreamers of dreams, performed marvelous signs, if they did not lead us to Yahweh, to Jesus, they were indeed false. And what was to happen to them? They were to be stoned. Paul faced this, did he not? As we find there in Acts chapter 17, confronted in Athens by some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers who accused him of bringing indeed some new thing, at best some strange thing. As he set before them the truths of the gospel as it is rooted and founded in Jesus Christ. I was raised in a denomination, mainstream, mainline Protestant denomination, that adopted a confession at the end of the 1960s. And a couple of decades later, a test case went before the Judicial Committee of the General Assembly of that body. And the question was this: is this man who purports to be a minister of the gospel allowed to be such who, when asked the question, is Jesus truly God? His answer was, he is as much God as you and I are God. As we are his sons and we are his daughters, so Jesus is the Son of God. There are so-called Christian denominations that breathe false spirits. The reality of false spirits, proven indeed from Deuteronomy, shown truly from the age in which Paul lived, alive and well, even in this 21st century. And how are we then, what is the recognition of false spirits? What is the recognition of false spirits? By this, You know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Before we begin to unpack this idea of does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, we must recognize one thing, and that is this. Anyone who would stand before us and claim to be a prophet of God, equal to any of the prophets of God found in Scripture, is thereby a false prophet. We find in Ephesians 2:20 that indeed it's on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus, the cornerstone, that the church is to be built up. And with the close of the canon, from Genesis to Malachi, the Old Testament, from Matthew to Revelation, the New Testament, those 39 and those 27 books, the prophet of God is spoken. So when anyone stands before us, claiming to be a prophet, like the prophets of the Bible, stop listening. Just stop. I know that's impossible. So if you're going to keep listening, listen to what they say about Jesus. What does it mean that Jesus came in the flesh? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. We begin to recognize false spirits within a congregation. How? Because those who are not truly of Christ, they are not truly of us, what do? They don't persevere in the body of Christ. They leave. 1 John 2 and verse 18. They have a disdain for the visible body of Christ here upon this earth. The next thing that we have to recognize is that if we're going to listen to people, we must listen as the noble Bereans listened. Even as the Apostle Paul would come and open up the Scriptures to them, what do we find? They received the Word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And what does that imply? That implies that we are all to be students of the book. We are all to be students of the Scriptures. So that when we hear people speaking, those words run through that grid that God lays up in our hearts, in our minds, of the Bible. So that we begin to know whether this holds true to the Scriptures. Do we delight when we wake up in the morning to go to the Word, to go to the Scriptures, to have our hearts tweaked, to have our hearts fed, to have our hearts stimulated so that our focus through the rest of the day is on what God has to say as we face everything that comes upon us in life. And to begin to see the Spirit of God writing what we're reading upon our hearts, upon our minds. So that even if we're not able, as the navigators would have us be able to say the reference before and after, we can at least say, as the author of Hebrews says, somewhere someone said, and quote the Bible. Because that word has been laid up in our hearts so that we can recognize false spirits, false teachers. We all know that bank tellers are given the exercise of learning what real money is. Know what real money is. Don't spend your time trying to discern what counterfeit money looks like. Know what real money looks like, feels like, smells like. Because if you know what the real money is, you'll notice the counterfeit. Recognition of false prophets, evil spirits. And beware of those with whom you're having conversation. And you begin to open up the Scriptures. And you show to them what the Scriptures say. And this so often happens, doesn't it, when we're talking about a person's behavior. And you begin to open up Scriptures and begin to show how the kind of behavior that they're practicing doesn't line up with the way the Lord would have His creatures live. And they say something like this: I know that's what the Bible says, but I think... And there you are. Rejection of the truth. And begin to replace it with something less. But the heart of the issue is, who do you say Jesus is? Is He the Word of God come in flesh, full of grace and truth? Is He not only the Word of God come in flesh? Because you see, there are people who will say that Jesus was animated and therefore He was unique and for that period of time. He was special. But it wasn't that God, the second person of the Trinity, came and tabernacled among us. You see, they would reject John 8 and verse 58. They would be among those who would take up the stones before Abraham was. Jesus said, I am. And of course, from John 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was that Jesus, that Word made flesh, who created all things. What do we think of Jesus? Is He indeed the second person of the Blessed Trinity who tabernacled among us, Son of God, Son of Man, fully God, fully man? You see, it's only as we come to grips with this Jesus, as He's revealed to us in Scripture, that we can begin to appreciate His statement, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You believe that? We live in a world that says there are many ways to God. That's when we begin to say, oh, but there's but one way, that our voice is pushed out of the marketplace. Peter and John, as they were before the council on trial, said of Jesus, "And there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." If it's your desire to spend eternity in heaven, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For if you do not, hell awaits you. Eternity in the lake of fire. But John doesn't stop with setting before us the reality of false spirits. He doesn't stop with the recognition of false spirits. He concludes with the rejection of false spirits. The rejection of false spirits. Verses 4, 5, and 6. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Because we are from God, we have overcome them. How is it possible? It's possible because of the one who lives within us. Because of the one who lives within us. The Spirit enables us to listen to the Spirit of truth, and the world will not have any of it. When Jesus left this world, he said it was expedient for him to go, because if he's going to go, what is he going to do? He's going to send us the Paraclete. And what is this Paraclete going to do? He's not going to speak on his own authority, but he's going to speak that which the Son has told him to speak, that which the Father has told him to speak. And he's going to bring to our remembrance those things of Jesus. As you see, as he brings to our remembrance the things of Jesus, he enables us to hear the shepherd's voice, the good shepherd's voice, and to follow him. And how do we hear the good shepherd's voice? We hear the Good Shepherd's voice through the words of the Good Shepherd. As we're reminded in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is the breath of God. All Scripture is the breath of God. And it's that outbreathing of God that we find from Genesis to Revelation that equips us for every good work that God ordained for us to do before the foundation of the world. And indeed, in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, we're reminded that no human author wrote what they wrote simply as an expression of their informed faith. The Bible's not the words of some spiritual people who lived ages ago and wrote down their thoughts. Holy men of God, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, wrote what God has to say to us today. When you read the Bible, do you hear Jesus? When you read the Bible, is the voice of the shepherd gripping your attention so you go forth following the shepherd? I think just now of having watched the movie, what is it, The Return of Shrek? They bring the piper in. And what do? They turn the pipe so that all the Shreks of the world, all the ogres of the world, dance to the tune of the piper. Is the voice of the shepherd? Is that the pipe that makes you dance? Is that the pipe that makes you dance? Romans 6, 17 and 18. But thanks be to God that you were once slaves to sin. You who once were slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Lovers of righteousness. You see how the rejection of the evil spirits happens? We're so full of Jesus and His Word that we take to heart what He tells us, especially at this moment from Romans 6, 17 and 18. But thanks be to God that you who once were slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Having been set apart, set free from sin, become slaves. Slaves of righteousness. Thanks be to God. Through the indwelling Holy Spirit, we are more than conquerors when false spirits would lead us astray from the historic Son of God. Beware and be encouraged that we have been set free if we indeed are in Christ Jesus from enslavement, yes, from even listening to those evil spirits that are all around us and unfortunately sometimes are within covenant communities that claim the name of Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, may we indeed beware, and may we be victorious because of the one who lives within us. If indeed we have repented of sin and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation, may we go forth in the freedom that that gives us to keep our hands to ourselves, to not lie, to not steal, to not blaspheme your name, to honor father and mother, to keep the Lord's day. Oh, indeed, not to covet, not to bear false witness. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for the liberty that salvation brings us in Christ, to not surrender to that which enslaved us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.